Hello, and welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. This week's sermon is brought to us by Pastor Dana Olson Getty.
To get to know a whole network of very small people, of babies and children who I've come to know through friendships of my son. And as I have played at the playground and gone to birthday parties and hosted play dates, I've learned some things about how children play. So when these children were very young, I noticed that they liked to do something that early childhood educators call parallel play. So very young children like to play in the same place at the same time, but they each have their own toy. It's side by side. They don't necessarily influence each other. Their play is not dependent on each other. And heaven forbid they both want the same toy at the same time. You will know about it. But I've noticed that this way of playing has changed drastically over the last few years. And these days, I'm around more four-year-olds, five-year-olds, six-year-olds. And the kind of play that I notice more is a kind of imaginative, interactive, creative play. It's a play that requires more than one player. And now when Noah meets up with a friend or arrives at school, he often runs full tilt towards his friends, waving his arms, shouting their names, and inviting them to plunge immediately into one of their favorite imaginative play games. One of these games that I enjoy hearing about a lot is an elaborate ongoing story of superheroes. Each child in this preschool class has their own superhero name and special distinctive powers that they have made up together. And when they play, sticks become laser rays and icy powers fly out from extended hands. There are fierce imaginary beasts that they ride to catch villains. And each of the children bring bits of the narrative from their life, from whatever they've read or heard in movies and stories, and together they improvise. It's an evolving, fully absorbing story in an imagined world that they create together. The joy in this kind of game is the mutual delighting in each other and in this engrossing play of co-creating a world. And I've seen kids this age create their own worlds. They often do that too, but it seems like there's something especially satisfying and joyful about doing this kind of playing together and about the friendships that result from this co-creating play. We heard a passage a minute ago that Sharon read from Proverbs, and it's about that kind of play. It talks about Lady Wisdom. So she's a distinctively female figure in Proverbs. If you only read Proverbs, she seems a little bit mysterious. In the New Testament, she's associated with Jesus and with the Spirit. And I think that we can read her, as the church has read her, as a window, one of the windows we have into the life of the Trinity. Lady Wisdom declares that God birthed her into being before the creation of the world. And she describes that creation. She talks about how the mountains were settled into place and the sky was fastened in the heavens. The line between water and sky was demarcated. There was careful shaping of the boundaries that would contain the sea. The foundations of the earth were bolted down. Before all of these, she says, she was born. And during all of this creating, she was at God's side, absorbed in this mutual delight of creative, imaginative, interactive play. This is how one translator puts that part of her poem. I was God's intimate, I was God's delight day after day, playing before God all the time, playing in the world, in God's earth. My delight was with humankind. So when we think of wisdom, most of us probably don't initially think of this kind of delighted, joyful play of children. In fact, we might think of play as one of the childish things that we put away as we seek maturity and wisdom. Seeking wisdom is the work of finding a life-giving path forward in the midst of realities and circumstances in which we find ourselves, wherever we are. And wisdom asks us to take a larger view than our own lives and our own needs. Wisdom asks us to live and act in ways that are faithful to others in our community and our world, especially those who are most vulnerable. Wisdom requires us to make choices not just based on what we can do, not just what we could do with our money or our time or our knowledge or our privilege or our relationships. Instead, wisdom asks us to make choices toward using what we have to fulfill our created purpose in the world. Wisdom asks, what kind of people are we called to become? What kind of world do we want to leave for the next generation? What is our purpose in life, and how can we best fulfill it? What does it mean to live faithfully as people made in the image of God? So this work of seeking wisdom, it's serious and hard work. It is. It's the work of discernment. It requires the best of our thinking, the best of what we know from experiencing the world. It requires time and effort and seeking to understand God, ourselves, our world, each other. And Proverbs has lots of serious and practical advice about this serious and practical work of seeking wisdom. So there's advice about money, time, relationships, how to choose your friends well. It's everyday, ordinary wisdom. But in the midst of all this common sense wisdom, we have this lavish, beautiful poem of praise to the Lady Wisdom. She's held up as an example, an exemplar of beauty, as the source of deepest satisfaction and greatest pleasure. And unlike other potential partners, Lady Wisdom's promises ring true. She promises that those who seek her will find deep and lasting contentment. And she tells us she was with God at the beginning of our world. She's a partner with God in a delightful, playful dance together that brings both the Creator and the created, both God and humankind, together into relationship. My hunch is that delighted, abandoned, absorbed play is not easy for many of us who are adults. It's not easy for me. I get distracted by all the things that are on my to-do list. But it's especially not easy when we find ourselves in a difficult situation where we really need to seek wisdom. Playing requires us to be present to our own bodies, to our emotions, to each other, to our imaginations. It requires that we let go of control of the outcome, that we listen carefully to the other players in the game and respond in creative and life-giving ways to the pieces of the story that each of them bring. And when we're feeling stressed or fearful or pressured, delighted play seems like the last thing that we should be spending our time and energy on. I think another thing that makes this challenging for us, and maybe for us in particular, is that we are very serious about living out our convictions of justice, of wholeness, of peace, of living in the way of Jesus. And because we're serious about that, we're attuned to and aware of all the ways that that is lacking in our world. We know about and we know personally people who suffer from war and poverty and injustice. Some of us among us have suffered those things ourselves in our own lives. And we know about, some of us know firsthand about, the ways the earth has been degraded and destroyed, and the ways that we are, our created world is moving toward the brink of destruction unless things change. So in light of all of that, if the brokenness and injustice of our world, delighted play seems like a bit of a foolish way to move forward. Why would we put our time and energy into play rather than into directly addressing these needs and problems around us? I think Lady Wisdom's invitation, God's invitation, to delighted relational play only makes sense if we understand this. Justice, peace, and righteousness, the ways of living that will allow us and all of creation to flourish and thrive and fulfill our created purposes, they're rooted in and they flow out of this relational, joyful heart of God. At the heart of seeking wisdom, Lady Wisdom invites us to dance with God, with the God who made this world and established its purpose. Lady Wisdom holds out our hand to us and invites us to enter into mutually responsive, unfolding, creative relationship with God. We're invited to play, to delight, to co-create and be delighted in. Play is not productive, at least not in any way that we can directly measure. And yet it allows us space to imagine things that are not yet in existence. It gives us space to breathe, to open ourselves to what is good and beautiful, even in the face of all that is ugly and evil in our world. And play deepens relationship. Those who play together become attuned and responsive to each other. It fosters mutual delight, joy, wonder. I think Lady Wisdom is telling us that the best way forward cannot be determined only through reason and self-discipline and hard work, and certainly not from a position of uninvolved observation. Wisdom grows from the soil of wonder, says one scholar about this passage. Lady Wisdom calls to us to join her in playful, wonderful delight in all that God has made. She invites us to discover where God is leading through entering in this delightful, mutually created, playful dance. Our current congregational vision process is one way we're seeking wisdom together. We're seeking to discern where God is calling us as a congregation, this specific group of people, in our specific circumstances. We're asking together, what kind of people is God calling us to become in this time and place? What kind of story is God calling us to live out with our life together? Where does the good way lie? One of the themes that's come up a lot in our discernment, along with other themes, is our desire to open our community in ways that will allow us to welcome in people who are different from ourselves into our lives and our worship. And that's serious and committed hard work. It's work that requires self-reflection and learning and willingness to change in ways that might be costly. But I think Lady Wisdom is also telling us that at the heart of that discernment is the possibility of joyful delight in the beautiful diversity of all that God has made. Lady Wisdom is inviting us to savor the beauty of the people and cultures that God has created, in whom God delights. Lady Wisdom is inviting us into a shared circle of creative joy where we can maybe make music together or share food together or tell each other stories, make something beautiful together that didn't exist before. This kind of entering in to to mutual delight asks us to let go of both the process and the outcome. We don't know exactly where this dance will lead us. Where God and God's and the beautiful creatures, our fellow creatures, where that dance together will end up. But we can be sure that if we enter into that playful, joyful dance, we'll come to know more deeply the God who created us to live as people of justice and wholeness and peace. Entering this kind of discernment of joy and delight, it's actually kind of risky. And I think the only way that we can do it, it's only possible if we first know ourselves to be delighted in, to be objects, to be subjects of God's delight and joy. Lady Wisdom invites us to know the delighted love of the one who is willing to enter our world and enter into the deepest pains and evil in our world and in our own lives, in order to welcome us into this circle of intimate dance with God and God's creation. We are welcome because we have been redeemed by Jesus, and it's in knowing that delighted love that we are God's beloved, we are doted upon, that we can let go of our fears and longing for control and enter into God's dance of love. My brothers and sisters, Lady Wisdom is running towards us. She's waving her arms and running full tilt, calling our names and saying, come and play, come and join in this imaginative, creative dance with God.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.